And speaking of cool cats, we are joined in the studio now by Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, for another round of History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history. How are you?
Oh, just doing great, Aaron. I hear that tune, and we know that there is calmness and there's order in the world. And, you know, it's also fun to think, like, is this the pop music of, like, the 18th century?
Oh, it probably was, actually.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Have you heard that latest tune? That's great.
Yeah. You have to think, like, there are so many great songs that come out every single year, but the vast majority of them, like 99% of what we're listening to that's like top of the charts today, is going to be forgotten in 5 years and 10 years and 20 years from now. People will be like, oh yeah, I remember that song once upon a time. You never really know until you get 20 or 30 years down the road, like, what are the songs from today that are actually going to last?
Well, think of like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Mozart,
right.
Born in the 18th century and popularizes that, and it's amazing to think that was one time, like a hit song, like,
but that did get remembered, and that the masterpiece theater song, whatever the actual name of it is, gets remembered, even though we don't know the actual name of it. There had to have been lots and lots of really popular classical songs from the 1800s that people loved at the time, and now they're completely lost to history, or they're in a vault somewhere.
Or you go to a concert and you hear it, and you go,
maybe,
oh, that's wonderful, I love it, but you don't think of it like, this is the pop music of the 18th century.
Well, I mean, there's the stuff that they don't even play at the concerts anymore because they've just been largely forgotten. And then there's one old guy sitting in the corner going, I remember when this was top of the charts back in my day.
Well, you mentioned Pat Cohen and Cool John Ferguson coming to Carrboro.
Yes.
And I've seen them before. They are unbelievable.
That's a really cool concert series.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a great, great concert. Cool. There are some wonderful things going on, you know, in terms of not only music, like people doing things today. It's like you're seeing history in the making, but also stuff that happened this week. And some of this is really important stuff. The Pentagon Papers began to be published in 1971.
Yeah.
You know, we hear a lot about, the Mueller report, you can't include stuff. Pentagon Papers had a lot more stuff, and the Supreme Court said, go ahead, publish.
Yeah, yeah.
And began
unanimously, right? It was 9-0. Yeah, that's this day in history when the New York Times started publishing that. And if I'm getting the date right, the New York Times started publishing it, and this was before the Supreme Court ruling, right?
That's
they
exactly
started to publish
right, yes.
it, and then the government came
and said, no, you can't
tried
do that,
to crack
and
down
said,
on it.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, that was a good thing.
Yeah. And then Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks running the Washington Post were like, no, we're going to publish it.
Well,
too.
Of course they're going to publish it. Who wouldn't want to have them on their team? The Miranda decision, you have the right to remain silent. And now that's 1966. We think this has always been with us. And part of the joy of this weekly program is to acknowledge these really important moments in history where it changes our lives, and we don't think about it. And we go, well, so what? And it's like, well, it does matter.
Yeah. There are a lot of, and we talk about this when I teach American government, we talk about civil liberties and the Bill of Rights and how important they are and how much we revere them today. But there are several really big decisions that we completely take for granted today. There were Supreme Court decisions that got handed down in the 1960s.
That's
the
right.
Miranda decision is one of them, where you actually, the police officers who are arresting you or interrogating you have to actually make sure that you know what your rights are before proceeding. So we take that for granted today, and that was a controversial decision.
Right.
There were police departments all over the country that were protesting this, saying, well, we're never going to be able to do an investigation again. The same thing with the exclusion rule. This was a case from the 61, I think, where if a police officer or an investigation is going on and evidence is collected illegally, they violate procedure, you can't admit that evidence
That's
into
right.
court. Take it for granted today, but that was 1961. Prior to that, we had 150 years of evidence being collected illegally, and we'll use that against you in a court of law.
Well, even though we have the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, we think, oh, that's going to establish equality. No, it takes so many more court decisions after this, including the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education, and going further.
Yeah, and some court decisions that went the other way.
Oh,
times
yes.
when the Supreme Court were like, the 14th Amendment is there, but it doesn't really mean
Plessy
what it...
Plessy versus Ferguson.
Yeah, exactly.
The 19th century. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So these are really important issues. And people who say, it doesn't affect me, it's like, wait a minute. A lot of people have fought battles so that everyone can have the freedoms that we all really treasure and say we take for granted. And this is why it's a good month, the LGBTQ month, to celebrate all these good things. I mean, think of what's happened in our lifetime. It's just incredible.
I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. I was talking with someone on the air, and they mentioned the moon landing, which was also 1969. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of that. Woodstock happened in August. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of that. It is such a testament to how successful the gay rights movement has been in the last 50 years. Maybe this is just me and the fact that I live in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, which is a progressive community, and all of the people on my Facebook feed are pretty far to the left. But I have heard so much more about the 50th anniversary of Stonewall and the beginning of the gay rights movement than I have heard about the 50th anniversary of the moon landing or the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And I guarantee you that if you had a time machine and you went back to December of 1969 and said, hey, everyone, in 50 years, the thing that people are going to be remembering the 50th anniversary of is this thing that happened in New York in June that probably didn't even really make the national papers too much, people would have been incredulous.
That's right.
And that's how it's happened.
Well, in Durham, they have the annual Gay Pride Parade in September.
Right, right.
And when my kids were little, we would go over there because I wanted them to see it, and it was outrageous and great fun, and people were coming from all over North Carolina because it wasn't as accepted in other communities.
Yeah.
But what I told my kids, that teaching moment was, these people have been on the forefront of making sure that the rights we all have to be whoever we are and to wear whatever and to associate and to love whoever we are, I said, those are things
that we need here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And so that's what we celebrate on this show, especially, is to say, yes, these are really important moments. And also we have those other sides where we have, like, Alabama George Wallace. 1963, standing in front of the University of Alabama, not wanting to admit two students because they're African American.
Also this week in history.
Yeah, committed segregationist. Yep. I mean, you know, that's a terrible thing.
Or because there's always that pushback, too.
Yes, Medgar Evers, 1963, a civil rights worker who was murdered. I mean, you know, these are important things that people have given their lives for. And
man, God, those were two... Those were
same year,
same week. Those were one day apart from each other. I didn't realize that.
Gosh, wow. So you see the things we discover. If you're a listener, you're going, you mean they're discovering? Yeah, well, we'll look at this stuff and we'll go, oh, we need to be reminded again how important
George Wallace was standing in the courthouse or in the schoolhouse door on June 11th of 1963, and Medgar Evers was killed on June 12th.
Well, and now here's something that happens locally, and that is, and it's going to be next week, but it's nice to just let people know about it, which is June 19th, Wednesday, 6 p.m. We have our annual Regulator Remembrance Day, 248th anniversary of when Governor Tryon put these guys on trial as part of the Regulator Rebellion, and six of them are executed. And we know the names. We've pieced together the names of four. Don't know the two. I call them the Unknown Patriots. But we invite people to come and bring flowers. We lay them at the site. They're oftentimes descendants of regulators who come there. But again, what were these people doing? What were they guilty of? They were guilty of simply exercising the very rights that we hold common and dear as Americans today. The right to gather, to assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and yet and legal fairness. And in return, they're denied that and subjected to cruel and unusual punishment. This is why these were really important hot-button issues at the founding of this country and going forward as well. And they continue 250 years later to say these are important issues about civil rights for everyone.
Yep. So June 19th, next week, Wednesday, there's going to be an event, 6 p.m. in Cameron Park in Hillsborough.
That's right.
Which you are kind of involved in.
Yes, you know, well, when I got there, you know, back in 2012 as the assistant director of the Orange County Historical Museum, and I stumbled on this site, and I was like, what is this? And it's at 200 East King Street, right down from the old courthouse and up behind the Orange County Board of Education building on this little grassy knoll. And here was this site. It was overgrown. And I started, you know, raking it up and realized that there was a bronze marker there that had been put there in 1963 by the Colonial Dames of North Carolina marking this. And the more I have learned about it, the more I have such esteem. In fact, there is a descendant of a regulator who was executed there, Enoch Pugh, who was out in Illinois, learned about this, moved to Hillsboro, lives here now.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Isn't that wild? And for so long, everybody thought it was James Pugh, one of these, but there was a James Pugh.
What did he leave behind in Illinois to come to Hillsboro?
She has kids that are there, but she said, she came, she said, this is where I want to be.
Okay.
And, you know, just amazing. So we had terrible rain, I think a couple of years ago, and I was like, well, I think we're going to have to cancel it. And but she didn't get the word, and she showed up. And I was like, oh, every year we have descendants.
Oh, that's awesome.
They have multiplied like stars. But this is a great thing, and,
yeah.
it's really something to celebrate.
Yeah,
and it's one of the great American historic sites.
Yeah, I interrupted you, but the story of identifying who this was is a really cool story.
Oh, it is. Well, for so long, the first part, for almost 100 years, you just had kind of anecdotal memories of people, mm-hmm. and phonetically, James Few, who's executed the day after the battle. There's not a lot of substance for his execution either. And James Pugh, who was the brother of Enoch Pugh, but Enoch Pugh had signed these regulator petitions to the government. And the regulators, you know, they're always seen as the wild anarchists. They're not. They are landowners. They're property owners. They're the people who are for law and order and who felt and were very alarmed at what they saw were excesses. And then Governor Tryon comes out, and he's not really confronting an armed mob intent on marching to New Bern, but he basically ambushes these people with cannon, and it's a terrible, terrible kind of. It's hard to say mass murder, but it's something like that.
I mean, it kind of is because six
it
people
is.
End up getting killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's in Hillsboro.
In
Alamance County, the early figures, and I remember 20 years ago, they were still having about equal numbers, about nine killed and some indeterminate number wounded. But actually, the numbers look like they were much higher, closer to maybe 300. Now, this is a year after the Boston Marathon when there were five, and they called that a massacre. This is something entirely different. So
that's incredible. But you think about today, the protests that will sometimes turn violent and clashes between sometimes protesters and counter-protesters and sometimes demonstrators police or government. Like, you think about the numbers of people who are injured or killed in situations like that, and it's always a tragedy, and it's always something that we need to be very on guard for, and there needs to be an outcry whenever something like that happens.
Right.
You go back to 1771 in this case, with the regulators, like the numbers are staggering the people who, like, there's nothing like that today, thank God.
Well, and here in North Carolina, that story is usually in a bubble, but when you really look at the colonial era newspapers, it was known up and down the East Coast. For the next 6 months, there's outrage from papers in Virginia, Philadelphia, New York. People know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in the Midwest, grew up in New England, and had gone to Lexington, Concord many times.
I didn't. Yeah.
And the thing was, as though, even as a boy, I kept being puzzled. I thought, why did these Minutemen fight so ferociously and fight the way they did? Because they were also fighting behind trees. And it's only when I came down here that part of the puzzle was filled in.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, they knew about Alamance County. They were determined that it wasn't going to happen to their farms and families.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a huge difference. So while, you know, they thought it was, in England certainly thought it was contained here, and certainly there was a sudden suppression of questioning, but it wasn't entirely. And it continues. And that's why North Carolina becomes this unique cradle that proposes and supports civil liberties, which is right what we're talking about to begin with.
Exactly, the Miranda decision and everything else, the forefront
of saying these civil liberties that we're practicing back then and we've carried forward. So anybody who thinks, well, North Carolina is this backward state, it's like, you have no idea of its history because it's exciting, and this is, that's why I will oftentimes call birthplace of of civil rights is here in North Carolina.
I think it's important. This is where it becomes important for us to be aware of history, but also to continue to tell the stories and where things like living history really matters, because there are people, we always have this tendency to think that our day and our time is something special or unique, and sometimes in a negative way. You hear people like, oh, it's never been worse ever in human history than it is now, and they've got all the, you know, you look in the newspaper, you watch the, you know, nightly news or even this show, and you're like, well, this thing happened and this thing happened, and the negative stuff kind of gets put up to the front, so people get that impression. You look back, and I think that impression is kind of reinforced by the fact that when you read books of history, it's very dry. 300 people are killed in this event, and 6 people are killed in that event. Yeah. But it's being able to tell the story and to bring that to life in a way that makes you feel like you were there,
and also
gives you that
perspective. And what you're saying too, and the lives that are lost are not in vain.
Yes.
And they become the springboard for people saying, no, that shouldn't happen. And that's true both in civil rights of the 60s as well as the 1770s. That it becomes so important.
Speaking with Scott Washington, we got time for one more. What do you got?
All right. Well, I got to just mention some fun things. On June 16th, of course, is Father's Day. Mm-hmm. I would have guessed that Richard Nixon is the one who signs this into law after it first being proposed in 1910. That'll be the third Sunday. Also, the Jacksons debut on that date, 1976. Pepsi and Ford Motor Company are founded on that day in 1903. And Cracker Jacks comes about because of the Chicago World Fair in 1893. And also roller coasters, 1884, Coney Island.
Yep.
And in Durham, there was Lakewood Shopping Center. It used to be the Coney Island of the South.
Really?
Yes. They actually had all kinds of things, including a high dive where horses would jump off into giant pools of water. In fact, there are recorded instances of couples getting married and jumping off on the horses into the pool. Yes.
My wedding was much more low-key than that.
Streetcars, So who says that history isn't interesting?
And that is History Matters for today. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.